Well, it was a horrible start for the quarter for the Australian share market on Friday, with concerns about the health of the big four banks once again driving shares lower. With the commodities boom turning to bust, investors are worried that the banks might be too exposed to the struggling mining sector after two of the big banks, ANZAC, ANZ and Westpac, unexpectedly lifted their provision for bad debts. Concerns about the big banks come as the Indian energy giant Adani says it remains committed to its $21 billion Galilee Basin coal project, despite many of its bank funders pulling out. Yesterday, the Queensland government granted approval for Adani's three Carmichael mining leases, clearing a major hurdle for this project. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, is with us. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Fran.
Let's start with the banks. Investors seem to think that the big banks are teetering on the brink of a bad debt crisis. How likely is that?
Well, look, given that the bank's core business is to lend money, the risk that a percentage of those loans will turn bad, that's always a real risk. But we need to put these recent warnings from these two banks into perspective. Just before Easter, ANZ and then Westpac warned that their provisions for bad debts would rise by $125 million as some of the resources companies that they've lended to struggle to pay back their loans. Now, $125 million is small change to the big four.
Yeah.
Last year, they generated a total annual profit of $37 billion. So they can easily absorb these sorts of losses, probably with no pain to their executive bonus packages. But after the last banking crisis in 2008, which, remember, nearly brought down the whole global financial system, investors are understandably worried that where there's smoke, there may be fire, that there may be, say, more bad news on the way.
So is the fear that the other big banks might have a problem with bad debts too, even though it's only ANZ and Westpac?
That's the concern, that this could spread. All the big four banks, for example, have loans out to this US coal giant Peabody Energy, which has mining operations across New South Wales and Queensland. It's reportedly close to bankruptcy. And this is all happening too, remember, at a time when that other big source of revenue for the banks, the housing market, appears to be coming off the boil. So, I mean, Australian banks have long been seen as vulnerable by, you know, to teeter because, by overseas investors in particular, because they fear that Australia's in this grip, you know, of a house price bubble. And some of those hedge funds have been shorting the banks, selling the banks down for weeks, making the bet that the next sector after mining in Australia to hit the skids will be the banks. And now, of course, you know, the ANZ and Westpac says, yes, our bad bets are, debts are rising. But, you know, $25 billion was wiped off the value of bank shares last week. I think that's a touch overdone. Remember, we're talking about a highly profitable, well-capitalised sector operating in an economy which is growing at 3%. Unemployment's been steady for a couple of years at 6%. We don't have the ingredients for a debt crisis, but, you know, we always have to keep, you know, be alert but not alarmed, I suppose. The banks themselves, I should say, say that, you know, they estimate their exposure to the resources sector is minimal. Around 2% of their total loans on the books of the big four are to the miners.
Speaking of the resources sector, it certainly doesn't seem to be the moment you'd think to be building new coal mines, given what we're just discussing. But the Indian company Adani appears to be pressing ahead with its $21 billion Galilee Basin coal mining and rail project. Yesterday, it cleared a key hurdle. The Queensland government announced approval of the three Carmichael mining leases. It's been waiting for that. Does that mean this project is going to go ahead?
Well, Adani, of course, says it will,
yeah,
but no one knows exactly where Adani is going to get the $10 billion estimated needs in financing to get this project actually off the ground. I mean, since the Carmichael mine project was first mooted, the price for thermal coal, for example, which is used to generate electricity in which Adani will mine, has plummeted from around $150 a tonne to $43 a tonne today. Now, that price plunge, not to mention the ongoing environmental concerns about the impact of coal mining on the Great Barrier Reef up there, has scared off a lot of banks, including the Commonwealth and NAB. They withdrew their support, their financing support last year. A whole bunch of international banks have said, you know, they've also said that they've withdrawn their support. I mean, not even the International Energy Agency, which is a conservative body, is confident that any of the Galilee Basin mines will be operational before 2020 at the earliest, because the financials don't add up.
So why is Adani pressing ahead then with a project that isn't financially viable? I mean, there is there's one suggestion they're sending all the coal to India. But, you know,
high quality Australian coal. They say they want this coal and it's needed for India. Look, Adani is a huge company in India, huge political clout. It does have huge financial resources. Interestingly, India's finance minister, Arun Jaitley, was in Australia last week, and there were reports circulating in India that he was planning to meet with Peter Costello to discuss whether the Future Fund could be an investor in the project, although the Future Fund denies it's in talks at all with the Indian government over Adani. For its part, Adani insists it will have the financial backing in place when they decide to proceed to construction, which they said yesterday. They still hope it will be next year. They're not going to make a decision, that they say, until they've got all the final approvals in place and all those outstanding environmental court challenges are resolved. They're basically saying they're not walking away from the project because it's already invested $1.2 billion in the mine, we have to remember, and it spent $1.8 billion buying the Abbott Point port facility. And they've also got a lot of political support up there. I mean, North Queensland is a Labor stronghold. Why? The state Labor government has come out in support of this because they're sweating on the jobs up there.
As the Premier says, 5,000 jobs building it, another 4,500 during the peak of its operations. And, I mean, jobs, jobs, jobs.
And Townsville Mayor is really backing it. I mean, the Queensland Nickel Mine has gone into bankruptcy.
So you've got the jobs on the one hand, then you've got the global campaign against coal mines on the other.
Yeah, but I have strong doubts that this project will ever see the light of day, friend.
Okay. Meanwhile, the bad news keeps coming for the big banks. Back to the banks, they've been caught up in this global tax evasion scandal we've been talking about already this morning.
Yes, I mean, the Australian Financial Review and The Guardian have this scoop this morning. They're two of, 100 media organisations that have been scouring around the world this unprecedented dump of tax haven records that were leaked from this Panama-based law firm. The ABC's Four Corners has also been on the trail, and I believe we'll be hearing from Marion Wilkinson later in the program. Now, among the revelations is evidence that the inner circle, for example, of President Putin in Russia funneled as much as $2 billion through shadow companies to hide their wealth from their tax authorities. But bringing it back to Australia, apparently these documents also reveal at least 800 high net wealth individuals have been shuffling money into these shadowy companies in these tax havens, and that's now drawn the scrutiny of the Australian Tax Office, according to the Financial Review. And the big banks led by the ANZ has also popped up in this murky offshore banking world, according to the Financial Review this morning, although there's no allegation that they've acted illegally. But it does bring the focus, friend, back to multinational tax avoidance again, just as the federal government considers giving the Australian corporate sector a tax cut in the budget, which is a month away. I mean, voters already don't think they deserve it, and these revelations won't kind of help
that
case.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, tax havens, tax minimisation is not necessarily illegal, but it doesn't mean it's appropriate either. And if it's big Australian companies, I'm sure
they're not paying their fair share of tax.
That will draw attention. Yeah. And there's also illegality in these 11 million documents too, though, not suggesting the Australian banks are connected to that. And just finally, Cheryl, you said earlier bank stocks were dumped last week. What's the outlook for the share market at the start?
Look, rosier outlook. As I said, there was a 1.7% slide on the markets on Friday, but futures trading is betting on a modest rise this morning, around 0.5%, 23 points. And that's because Wall Street rose on Friday after the release of some robust economic data, including a better than expected jobs report. So we should get a boost from that good jobs numbers out of the US this morning. We saw shares actually rebound in March by 4%. So April's usually a good month for shares. So we'll see if they can beat those banking blues and head higher this month. What we don't want to go higher is the dollar. It got through 77 US cents last week. It's now a touch below that now. The RBA meets tomorrow. No movement in rates expected, Fran, but investors will be hoping that Glenn Stevens kind of jawbones the dollar down in its statement.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.